program was recorded earlier.
Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. Well, June, today is a day in our history. As they say, you're seeing history unfold today. It is the last day of a presidency of Donald Trump, and of so tomorrow we'll see a new president sworn in, an inauguration day here in the United States. And many have wondered, so, okay, what are going to be the last words, of someone in their life or of a certain particular station in life? Those are important words. So what's going to be the last thing that we're left with from Donald Trump?
Interesting that you say that way. I didn't know what the tone would be, and I haven't always agreed with words that were spoken by the current president. And I can agree with policies, but there's also a tone. There's a way of communicating, which at times could be eloquent, or sometimes disappointing. And I'm being very candid. But I did a few moments ago. I was sent the farewell address to the nation. We'll cover also what the next president, Biden, will say. We'll cover that too. But I just noticed the tone here, and he said this. I'm just going to mention a few lines out of the whole. This week we inaugurate a new administration and pray for its success in keeping America safe and prosperous. We extend our best wishes and want them to have luck. He said a very important word. I personally don't believe in luck. I believe that in God's blessing, but I understood in the spirit with which he was saying that. And he thanked a number of people, including family and Secret Service and military, just a number of individuals. And he said, we must never forget that while Americans will always have our disagreements, we are a nation of incredible, decent, faithful, and peace-loving citizens who all want our country to thrive and flourish and be very, very successful and good. We are a truly magnificent nation. All Americans were horrified by the assault on our Capitol. Political violence is an attack on everything we cherish as Americans. It can never be tolerated. And now more than ever, we must unify around our shared values and rise above the partisan rancor and forge our common destiny. There were a number of things that were said today. I thought this was reflective. 4 years ago, I came to Washington as the only true outsider ever to win the presidency. I had not spent my career as a politician, but as a builder, looking at open skylines and imagining infinite possibilities. I ran for president because I knew there were towering new summits for America just waiting to be scaled. I knew the potential of our nation was boundless as long as we put America first. You know, I think every president has accomplishments, and there's no question about that. There are reasons why they were put in place, but especially things that they were able to accomplish. I'm not going to read. I mean, he details that, a lot of that. But he did say our agenda was not about right or left. It wasn't about Republican or Democrat, but about the good of a nation. And that means the whole nation. I appreciate that a president is the president of the entire United States and keeps that in mind, by the way, just making little comments here. He said, when our nation was hit with the terrible pandemic, we produced not one but two vaccines with record-breaking speed and more will quickly follow. And, you know, that's true, because I kept hearing it was going to take a year and a half, 2 years, whatever, but that's not the case. He said, we grieve for every life lost. We pledge that in their memory to wipe out this horrible pandemic once and for all. Then I'm going quickly over, let me just go to the end part. As long as the American people hold in their hearts deep and devoted love of country, then there is nothing that this nation cannot achieve. Our communities will flourish. Our people will be prosperous. Our traditions will be cherished. Our faith will be strong. Our future will be brighter than ever before. I go from this majestic place with a loyal and joyful heart, an optimistic spirit, and a supreme confidence that for our nation and for our children, the best is yet to come. Thank you and farewell. God bless you. God bless the United States of America. I think I appreciate the tone. I appreciate the no negativity, because I don't think that's right in this case. And I do believe that we have opportunity to be wise in our words. Let's pray that we will be wise with our words and discerning about all decision-making in our lives.
Do you have a heart for people who are hurting and broken? You want to throw them a lifeline, but sometimes you just don't know how. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new, one-of-its-kind caregiver training designed just for you. Using video-based instruction from leading experts, plus relevant case studies and interactive exercises, you can discover how to effectively provide support, encouragement, and spiritual care. The ultimate goal is to connect lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. This 10-week Lifeline to Hope program can train and deploy a small, effective group of caregivers in your church and community. Be the person in your church that brings together caregivers to become better equipped to meet the hurting. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. lifelinetohope.org.
In these challenging times, millions are suffering with more stress, anxiety, and fear due to the unknowns a global pandemic can bring to daily life. What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear is a free download from Hope for the Heart. You'll discover what Scripture says on these issues and see how God cares about the struggles we face in life. Simply go to hopefortheheart.org/COVID to download your free resource titled, What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear? It's quick and easy to get your digital copy of this free resource that is filled with hope for these troubling times. That title again is, What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear? You can find it at hopefortheheart.org/COVID. That's hopefortheheart.org/COVID.
Listening to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we'll get to our caller in just a moment. Junior, a moment ago, took some time to read excerpts from the remarks by President Trump in the farewell address to the nation from today. That was a recorded speech, and so I don't think really anybody heard it live, but I heard it this afternoon on radio and went and found the full text of the speech there at whitehouse.gov. That's whitehouse.gov. G-O-V.
I didn't know that. Okay, so if I want to know what a president says, whoever the president is, I can go there during that person's administration and see a press release. Is that what you're saying?
Right, and I found, States of the Union address there, even really before it's delivered, because they always have that available before the event happens. So, yeah, that's there at whitehouse.gov is where
whitehouse.gov. Okay, so anybody who wants to hear this actual him delivering this message goes there, and they will be able to just do whitehouse.gov, and then it'll select something.
You'll go there to see the text of it. I heard it over radio, and I did not see the video of that, so I don't think that's on the whitehouse.gov site, but the text of the speech is.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you.
Sure, and I wanted to let people know, too, about our customer support team ready to take calls at 800-488-HOPE. And, June, you mentioned just the concept of decision-making, that we would have discernment in our lives, and we do have keys for living that will address that, called decision-making, discerning the will of God. So if you'd like to get that resource, it's 800-488-HOPE, and they can help guide you to God's hope through any of our resources. And that one, again, called decision-making, discerning the will of God, and it's available at 800-488-4673. Now, if you would like to speak with June about a specific situation in your life, and it's you'd like to do that on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, call us at 800-NIGHT-17, or that's 800-NIGHT, the number's 17. Just call and follow the prompts, leave us a good message so we can get back to you and schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. That's 800-NIGHT-17. Or 800-644-4817. Well, let's get to our caller for tonight, and this evening we have Bonnie.
Bonnie, welcome to Hope.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. How can we help you?
I have a difficult situation. I'm a mother, and I have four children, and my oldest child is incarcerated, has been there for 10 years now, and this and it's not so much about the incarceration or where he is or the circumstances and how I feel the whole justice system went. It's really about my faith about it. For years I've been praying and believing and trusting, crying and feeling God is hearing me, but maybe not visually seeing his answers. Now I don't feel it anymore. I pray, and I barely even cry now. And I'm concerned because I feel like I'm losing my faith because I'm saying the right words. I'm saying the words I always said, but they always had a feeling behind them. But now I feel like I'm saying the words and they're empty. And I just need help with my faith. And I know there's, and I'm not really scriptural, but I know there's a scripture that speaks about having faith, but the person prayed, but helped me in my non-belief. And that's where I find myself. It's not that I don't believe, it's just that I guess it's been so long that I just don't feel it anymore. And that's what I wanted to talk about.
Okay. It's a great question. And I'm just going to mention that we had a team member who was a very gifted speaker and is a very gifted speaker. And she's a women's director at a church. She's been there maybe a year and a half or two. Not at our ministry anymore, but again, highly, highly sought after as a speaker. And her son was, interestingly, incarcerated for more than 10 years. And she said, she cried, she prayed, she said she learned, it was just this week, this last week, that I heard her speak about this. And it is right in line with what you were saying about how she just really believed that the Lord was going to answer a certain way or the timing and all, and it didn't happen. And later, she said, I'm disappointed in how I responded, and that was her. But what I'm going to ask, and I'll comment a little bit more about what she said, because I think you'll find it interesting. When you said you prayed and you said I had faith, I want to hear, what did you have faith in? What was your faith in specifically?
Okay. Initially it was that all charges would be dropped. Then it went to the sentencing would be better. And then it's been that he would come home soon, and soon became months and a decade now. This spring will be 11 years, so it keeps sort of moving. It's almost mm-hmm. like I have something that I want, and I think, well, if you're not going to give me this, will you give me that? Well, if I mm-hmm. can't have that, can I have this? And it just constantly keep moving. And I've even prayed for God's will, not mine. But then I would honestly, to be really honest and frank about it, I came back and sort of backpedaled and said, my God's will, not mine, help me to accept your will. But by the way, when is he coming home? I don't know if I answered your question.
You're exactly what I was asking. Okay, so this is what I'm hearing. You prayed that all charges would be dropped initially, and then later that the sentencing would be better than what it was. Basically, you said you did seek to do, and this is what Jesus prayed, not, you know, he was specific about his request to not go to the cross and not suffer what the cup of suffering that he did endure. But he said, and so he prayed that he could let this cup pass from me. He said, but he did say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And so you said you sought to do that, but then, you know, it was hard. But at least you did attempt, and you did a little bit have that. You were seeking to do what God would want you to do. Am I correct about that?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, okay. And and the reason I'm asking these questions, you said I prayed, and you said I had faith. Now, So your hope was in God coming through for you, right?
Yes.
And your son. Okay. Years ago, I wrote what we call our counseling keys, our keys for living on the topic of hope. And I remember, as I was doing this, I was thinking, the problem is, what about praying for something? And you're right, it's not like you're living a life of sin or debauchery or anything like that. And actually, and you're sincere. And let's say that it actually is something that where there is no guilt. Now, in this case, the person I'm talking about, my friend Debbie Stewart, her son was guilty, but she just kept thinking, surely not this sentence, surely not this length of time. And the bottom line is, she knew the Word of God, she knew how to pray, and she had a right life, so why wasn't her prayer answered? Well, when we look at what hope is, And this is what I want you to focus on, because your question is right on target, where not just you being there, but we've all been there. We've hoped for something and believed that this would surely, whatever it would be, would take place. And it didn't take place. So I have a section in our material, what do you do when hope doesn't happen? Meaning what you hope in doesn't happen. And the reason I did that is because, again, this is your situation is classic, where you have prayed. You didn't do it for selfish reasons. So bottom line is this. There are two words, faith and hope. Faith and hope. Well, what is the difference between hope and faith? Hope is based on the promise of God, whatever He has promised. That is Christian hope I'm talking about. Christian hope is based on what, I'm going to use it this phrase, there's cultural hope and Christian hope. Cultural hope is, well, I hope we could get there on time tomorrow. Maybe yes, maybe no. But we've all used that phrase, hope, in that way. And it's like an optimistic desire that something would be fulfilled. But Christian hope is actually guaranteed. Hope is, as Christian hope, is an optimistic assurance that something would be fulfilled. But listen to this. It is guaranteed hope, but it's based on what God has promised. It's anchored, if you will, in our unchangeable Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ, and His promises. And the problem with this is, you, like my friend Debbie, there's no guarantee, there's not a promise that if you pray that then a sentence will be dropped, a charge will be dropped, or a sentence would be better. Let me come and unpack that a little bit more so you'll understand what I'm...
Addiction, abuse, violence, grief and loss, depression and suicide, marital and family stress. These are only some of the problems the church faces today. As a pastor, you may feel overwhelmed with the needs of those in your church and community. As a first responder within your faith community, how do you manage the crisis around you? Imagine raising up those in your church to come alongside you, helping you meet the needs of hurting people. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new, one-of-its-kind caregiver training program for your church. This 10-week video-based program can train and deploy a small, effective group of caregivers and help you launch a dynamic caregiving ministry. Equip your church to connect lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. lifelinetohope.org.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their lives. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
listening to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we will return to our caller in just a moment. We are a ministry here of Hope for the Heart, and we appreciate your prayers and support of our ministry. It's so important to us. If you have questions or concerns about the topic of hope, we do have a Keys for Living that will help you with that and to take a look at Hope, the Anchor for Your Soul. You can order that at customer support now at 800-488-HOPE. The number again, 800-488-4673, and they will help you access the resources that you need. Please give us a call, or you can email us at customercare@hopefortheheart.org if you have any questions regarding topics and resources discussed in tonight's program. Again, that's customercare@hopefortheheart.org. Let's get back to our conversation now with Bonnie.
Bonnie, I do care about your heart, about your prayers. I know that you have been deeply disappointed because what you prayed for has not happened. And I know that it's like you said you had faith about it, you were trusting. And what I am saying is we've all experienced what you've said, some to greater extent, with greater consequences. But do you understand that I'm hearing you?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Now, let me tell you what I think will help here. Because the Lord doesn't want you to just be hopeless. And a lot of people, they have adversity and they just become hopeless. And they give up on life. So let's understand that you may have heard this phrase in the Bible. It talks in 1 Corinthians 13. There are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Have you heard that scripture before?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we kind of think that we know what the word love is, but what is the difference between faith and hope? I remember thinking, I've never thought about it. And most people don't know the difference. So you're going to learn something that most people don't know, because I so analyzed it, and then now it's crystal clear to me, and I want it to be crystal clear to you. So these two words sometimes are intertwined together. People just think that they are the same, but they don't really know the difference. But they have to be different, because if it says these three remain, faith, hope, and love, so there has to be some difference between faith and hope. Let me tell you what the difference is. Hope is an assured promise. Notice I said assured promise, where God has promised something. Whereas faith is acting out on the promise. Faith is acting based on that promise. And another way to say it is faith is hope put into action. Now, do you remember a story in the Bible where it just so happens to be the disciples are in this boat and there's a storm? Or there's another time when they see something on the water, and initially Peter thinks it's like a ghost. He thinks, what on earth is that? Well, it was Jesus walking on the water. And Jesus says something to Peter. What did he say? Have any idea?
Come.
That's it. Yeah. You can come. And so did Peter, did he have a type of experience of watching Jesus do miracle after miracle after miracle? Did Peter see him do it? Yeah, he saw miracle after miracle. And so instead of saying, well, that's impossible, Peter had hope that anything that Jesus said would be true, because he had seen it over and over again. So his hope was in Jesus. And if Jesus says, come, he's saying, you can come here. It's like, this is a promise. So the response for Peter was stepping out of the boat. That was faith literally acting on what Jesus said as a promise. You can come here. You can come to me. And so he started walking on the water. Then all of a sudden his rational mind kicks in and thinks, wait a minute, I shouldn't be able to do this. And so what happened? What happened to Peter?
He started to sink.
Yeah, he started to sink. Now, Jesus knew. He understood the situation. So he reached out and pulled him up. He didn't allow him to drown. But, you know, this is where the difference is. You and I have prayed at times, Lord, please change the heart of so-and-so. Please change this circumstance. With all our hearts, we wanted something else. But the question is, was it promised in the Bible? Because what we see is in the Bible, and that's our source. It's like the Constitution of the United States is that's the foundation of what is supposed to be our laws. But the point is, in the Bible, this is for we as Christians, where Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this hope, an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And what that's talking about, the anchor's referring to Jesus. The verse before that is, Jesus is our anchor. So anything that Jesus has said, that, for example, what we know in the Bible, that's the word of God. It's not just casual words. When you see God speaking, he says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. You don't even have to know, my friend. You don't have to know what the plan is. He's saying, I've got a plan for you. Now, that's a promise that God says. And that's Jeremiah 29:11. And what we see is there are actual specific words that Jesus says that he will do in us and to us and through us. And one thing that we know is that he will give us a peace that passes all understanding. He promises that we can have his peace. Now, you say, well, I don't feel peaceful about my son being incarcerated. That, if you say, I can't do that, he knows that, and then Jesus, even the Bible says that Jesus is our peace. So at times we have to rely on Christ and say, okay, I don't like this situation, but I understand that I need peace. I can't muster it for myself. So Lord Jesus, since you are my peace, I need to put my faith in you to be my peace. Because, see, he's promised to give us peace. So what I've had to learn And I had to learn it while I was even writing these keys. We have keys for living. I'm going to send this to you. It's called Hope, and the subtitle is The Anchor of Your Soul. It's kind of like hope when life seems hopeless. It gives you what you need. What is it that you can count on? And what I learned is sometimes what I, as a Christian, I thought I could pray for. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking, but sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes the answer is no, and sometimes the answer is wait. Like, for example, my friend Debbie, whose son, I remember one time she just knew he was going to be released because he was going up to the parole board, and she was just sure, and she was devastated when, and I remember it. She was just crushed. But she said later to me, in fact, she said this last week, if he had been released then, there are things that would not have happened in his life that had not happened yet for him to truly change. And there were more changes that son, her son, needed. And what I'm saying is he's been out only maybe 6 months or something, or she's adapted to the new normal. But I'm saying to you, there's nowhere in the Bible that says if you pray about somebody being incarcerated, then even if your life is right and pure and everything, there's no promise of that in the Bible. Just like there's no promise that a wayward spouse, somebody who's having adulterous affairs, is going to change. You can pray, and yes, you want that, but there's not a promise that we can look to. We are told that we are to ask, but it's not a guarantee. You know, the Apostle Paul prayed 3 times that the thorn in his flesh would be removed, whatever his illness was. And he said, but to keep me from being conceited, he gave me this thorn in the flesh, and it was not taken away from him. I think it was used as a humbling agent for him. And so I'm giving you a realistic understanding. We are to talk to God about whatever our concern is. That is right to do. But God still has an opportunity to say, not now, not at this time, because he can have another work like he was doing for Debbie's son when he was in prison, where that son changed.
Caregivers come from different backgrounds, education, and experience, but they all have one thing in common, a desire to help those who are hurting. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new caregiver training offered by Hope for the Heart. This 10-week video-based program can help you deploy a small, effective group of caregivers in your church. Biblical caregivers who can help meet the needs of hurting people. Connecting lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. This comprehensive training shows the biblical model for caregiving and includes sessions on effective listening, crisis intervention, family dynamics, having a ministry of presence, and more. Proverbs 11:14 reminds us that where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. lifelinetohope.org.
Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult,
She struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
Back to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. If you have questions about these or any number of topics, we have over 100 keys for living, sure to address what you're dealing with in your life. Call customer support right now at 800-488-HOPE, and they can help you access the resources you need. Keys for Living, called Hope, the Anchor for Your Soul, is among those resources and available to you as you order them. Again, the number is 800-488-4673. Also, check out our website at hopefortheheart.org/store. Find the new updated Keys for Living, the Lifeline to Hope online training, as well as June's biblical resources. It's all there at hopefortheheart.org/store. Let's return now to Bonnie.
Well, Bonnie, we're talking about words in the Bible. That what do we, how do we view certain scriptures? Because if I am thinking, okay, like I literally 21 years ago, I had cancer, and I know people were praying that I would be healed, and I knew it was possible. Some people are healed, but I also knew that in the Bible there were people that were godly people who were not healed. So I just needed to leave that up to the Lord as to what His will would be for me. And I can tell you, on Saturday, I went over to someone's house who is in the throes of a very, very aggressive form of cancer, and I gave her the book I wrote called Caring for a Loved One with Cancer, and I gave four other copies to her four daughters, meaning they weren't there, but I signed each one of them, Caring for a Loved One with Cancer. And I said, I've been there, I know what. And in this book, I wrote all kinds of things. What do you do when you're going through chemotherapy? What will help you? And I have 50 specific acts of what do you do? And then there's tips for the temporary trials of chemotherapy. All these things. I said to my friend Betsy, I said, Betsy, if I hadn't gone through cancer, I would have so little compassion for those who have that journey, that difficult journey. It opened, in fact, it was a whole new language. It was a whole new vocabulary. I learned volumes that I wouldn't have. When I mentioned it on radio, it's like the floodgates opened. All of a sudden, all these people calling about cancer that would not have called otherwise. But I was going through it. And any time we're going through a trial, I view that that stretches our capacity for compassion, because now we know firsthand what that's like. Let me ask a question. Do you believe you have more compassion for a mother whose son is incarcerated, or a daughter is incarcerated in prison, than most
Absolutely.
People?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. There is a team member of ours. Her name is Dee Dee. And her husband was in a federal prison for, I can't remember if it was 6 years or 8 years, but, I mean, we just kept praying, you know. And, you know, today, Dee Dee's heart is it's phenomenal. She loves any form of prison ministry. She wants us to do keys on prison ministry, but her heart just is so yielded and reaches out to those who not only are incarcerated, but also those who have loved ones who are incarcerated. And she knows how hard it was. She saw people who kind of avoided her, that normally there wouldn't be an avoidance. And so, you know, we became, there are many, 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 many conversations she and I had, and I consider we have a friendship because of that deep trial in her life. But, oh my goodness, how she was used, and is used, not was, is used in the lives of especially those who have a loved one who's incarcerated. Do you believe that God has sensitized you in that area?
I do. I feel sometimes too much, though, but yes, I do.
Well, what I'm thinking is at times we can not, we don't mean to think incorrectly. We know God can perform certain miracles, but he doesn't always. And so what we do is we present the request, and then, you know, now if it's something that is promised, if, in other words, for the Lord to say to you, Bonnie, I know the plans I have for you, especially in light of your oldest child being, you know, 10 years plus as time goes on, however long it is. There is something, he says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So he's going to use this experience in ways that you would not have been able to be used otherwise. Do you agree with that or not?
I understand. I do. I understand. I have, and this Jeremiah, the scripture that you've given is one that I've shared with him many times, and he's quoted it back to me, and he's told me God planned for me to be here. And I would always say, no, that's not God's plan. But I do understand that especially after hearing you and thinking about it, that's not necessarily so when I said
well,
that.
Look at the Bible, what happened to Paul. He was thrown into prison. And as a result, the guards prayed. He was unjustly thrown into prison. And yet the guards, so then Paul started literally presenting Jesus as Lord and Savior, as God. And many of them became authentic Christians. So God's plan was to use Paul in that way, in prison. So, see, that's where, and I think what I'm hearing is you are willing to rethink some of your assumptions, which I respect tremendously. And that's huge. I'm proud of you for you to say, you know, I thought, no, that wouldn't be God's will. Well, yes, it would be, because trials, what we learn about trials is when we're in the furnace of affliction, God removes the dross, that scummy stuff. You have pure gold, and, well, you've got nuggets of that have to be melted down to remove the impurities. And many times it's through the furnace of affliction that, in fact, I'll send you that too. I'm going to send you both hope and I'm going to send you trials. You'll really see how we are gold in the making, where we are. God sees us. There are so many references. I had no idea until I started doing the research on gold and silver and the refining process. So your son is, he has an opportunity to come forth as gold, just like the son of Debbie Stewart, who, I mean, there, you know, it's interesting. It's almost a similar amount of time right now. Hers, I know it was a little more than 10 years, but she saw as time went on how he became more yielded to the Lord. Does that make sense?
Yes, I understand. I do. I understand.
Yeah. And so there's all the hope in the world for you, because you see, as you say, all right, Lord, I want to understand this in the right way, not just praying for what I want. Yes, I certainly there's an understanding. You would pray for no sentence, but that wasn't God's plan. See, there's even unjust accusations there, and I consider I've gone through something in the past couple of years that I just was stunned. I know there were unjust accusations, but I'm thinking, why do I go through this? I've not been through this particular thing before, and yet I can tell you I've learned. It's not wasted. It's not wasted. And so for you to just continue on with that promise of Jeremiah 29:11, because he does say, I know the plans I have for you. And that means your son too. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And sometimes we have to be in that furnace of affliction. And then God, when the heat is on, it at certain temperatures, only certain impurities are emitted, released at certain temperatures. And then, unfortunately, never will forget this, then the refiner turns up the heat. You think, well, why? That's horrible. No, because only certain other impurities are released at higher temperatures. But God is faithful. God is faithful, just like he used Paul, who was imprisoned. My goodness, Paul was the one who has been considered by so many theologians the greatest missionary in the world. And yet he was imprisoned. What happened to Jesus was absolutely unfair. But it was a part of the plan for him to die on the cross for our sins, so that we would humble our hearts and receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. My friend, I think the faith is not in your prayers. It's your faith is in Christ himself. In God himself.
We will send resources to tonight's caller free of charge because of your generous support of this ministry. We'll send the Keys for Living called Hope, the Anchor for Your Soul, also Trials, God's Refining Fire. And you may order resources for yourself at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. June also referred to the book, Caring for a Loved One with Cancer. That's Caring for a Loved One with Cancer, available there as well as you get in touch with us at 800-488-4673. Our materials and past programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also check out the broadcast app, Hope for the Heart. That's a free download. For June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.